I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben Leap the Dips Bolin.
Yes, Ben Leap the Dips Bolin. That's what they have called me for years and years. We just went public with it today. I hang out with Scott. I do some... do some work here at HowStuffWorks.com, and in addition to all that, during the summer, I like to go to amusement parks.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just going to breeze right over my Leap the Dips comment.
No, I felt like it worked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm liking this.
I was going to say maybe Ben the Beast Bolin. Ben Son of Beast.
Son of Beast.
Son of Beast Bolin.
Oh, you got me. I love that one.
Yeah, I like that one too.
That was my favorite name.
All right. I also love to go to amusement parks. I really
yeah,
do.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I've been here in Georgia recently to the Six Flags Park.
Yes, Six Flags Amusement Park.
I'm used to going to Cedar Point, more accustomed to that.
Yeah.
Relatively flat. So when I come here in Georgia where it's, I don't know, what it's like 212 degrees in the summertime and humid, you're climbing hills.
Uh-huh.
And there's lots of shade, I'll say that, but it's a totally different layout.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a little more of a workout. It's not as big. But it's smaller, but you're mountain climbing.
You are at times mountain climbing, but luckily if you go at the height of summer, they've planned it perfectly. So right after you expend a lot of energy walking up that hill, you get about an hour to rest in line.
That's true.
Before you hit the
coaster. Or you could buy a $12 Coke.
Or you could buy a $12 Coke, you know.
Yeah.
Something tastes different about that $12 Coke. You're just pushing my cheap button today already, man.
Gladly pay $12 when it's 315 degrees.
You know what? It is definitely they've got a cornered market there. But, of course, the reason we're talking about amusement parks, a little bit of backstory. Ben Leap and Dip Bolin, born in Nashville, Tennessee, which is, of course, the home of Opryland, as I'm sure everybody refers to it, including people from other countries and the president.
Is Dollywood near there?
Dollywood is in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Okay.
And one of my very favorite things about that place has always been the roller coasters, even when I was too short to ride them. And so it wasn't until I actually was in Georgia when I was able to really, really hop on a roller coaster. And so that's what we were thinking we could talk about today, you know? Take a little break.
I love roller coasters.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, of course.
I think they're great. I mean, I've always loved them.
Big surprise. Scott, speed fiend.
But
Benjamin,
you know what? I'll be honest with you. The last few times, and I don't know if this is age or what, but I'm a little bit afraid of some of these that I've seen recently.
Really?
They're so far beyond anything that I ever expected to see in my life, I guess.
Yeah.
There was a time when, you know, the 200-foot coaster was a big deal.
Right.
Now they're... above 400 feet.
Right.
And I don't know. It just seems little nuts, but I mean, it's got to be a lot of fun. But I'll tell you, it's a little, still a little scary.
It is. It's a brave new world of roller coasters, I guess.
Yeah.
To draw a little bit of reference there, but well, let's just start looking back, because you're right. It's been such a crazy evolution.
Yeah.
We've got a great article about this on the site. the first things that I guess people consider the ancestors of roller coasters were actually ice slides, the kind of stuff you would take a sled down. And these were in Russia, and they never quite broke 100 feet. And this is way back. We're talking about 16th, 17th centuries. You'll be glad to know Leonardo da Vinci did not actually come up with this one.
Oh, I thought he might have. So are you riding like a block of ice down a chute of ice?
You know, you're riding a wooden slide basically down a chute of
ice.
Toboggan
run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And then so this goes on, and the French kind of take it from the Russians in the 1800s, and they make some of the first roller coasters where there's a train that's attached to a track, mm-hmm. which is a big evolution. And then the very first American roller coaster is in Pennsylvania. I'm going to try to pronounce it. I'm going to mispronounce it. Pennsylvanians and friends of Pennsylvanians, we apologize in advance. Mock Chunk Switchback Railway. Mock Chunk Switchback Railway. Something Chunk Switchback Railway.
Got it.
All right.
Got it.
And so...
that's the very first roller coaster?
In America.
In America.
Yeah. And okay. And so the way this one started was it was supposed to send coal to a railway, but they ended up making it a scenic tour instead. So tourists would pay for this, and they get, you know, a nice scenic, relaxing ride to the top of the mountain. And then when it went down, it was wild and bumpy.
This isn't a coal car.
I'm sure they reconfigured it. I'm sure they didn't just have people jumping into the
car. I don't know. What was the time frame on this?
This is around 1817.
Oh, they were in a coal car.
No, not 1817. Later, mid-1800s.
They were in a coal car.
Yeah?
Probably just standing up, yeah.
Probably just hanging out.
Yeah, probably.
Parasols and monocles.
Right. Monocles, yeah.
Yeah. So then we go on. So like by the 20s or 2000, different types of roller coaster like vehicles, and then... kind of went down, understandably, in the Great Depression and World War II, partly because of manufacturing, which is something people should stay tuned for, because we have something about World War II coming up later.
Ah, nice hook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how it works out. Mm-hmm. And then in the 70s and 80s, we see more and more roller coasters. And, you know, I guess from there, we should, before we talk about too much crazy stuff, I can talk about basics, what we mean today when we say a roller coaster.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, we talk about... a passenger compartment of some sort, whether it's a car, whether it's a harness, you know, because there's like the Superman ride where the track is overhead.
Oh, yeah, and you're kind of hanging below it. Yeah.
Right. And then they always, of course, have brakes. Interesting difference between usual forms of transportation is that the brakes on most roller coasters are inside the track.
Hmm.
And so the way it works is there's a computer that has a hydraulic system, and there are sort of clamps in the track. So they close down on these fins running under the train, and the friction gradually stops.
Oh, cool.
The vehicle. I thought that was pretty interesting.
So that's what those vertical bars are that you see in the middle of the tracks.
Yes.
When,
yeah,
oh, okay,
usually,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. The wheels have nothing really to do with it. They're just along for the ride.
Well, the wheels do play an important part. They're not there just...
I mean, they keep you off the track and they keep you rolling smooth, but they're not. Yeah. There's no braking system within the wheels.
No,
The car itself is being broken.
Yeah, traditionally, yeah,
that's where the braking's happening. Is
in the track.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's okay. Got it.
Traditionally, the compartment itself doesn't have brakes. So hopefully the track works.
Got it.
And let's see. That's from that relatively simple design. People have started to do and continue to do a lot of amazing stuff. Where do you want to go with this? Where do you want to go with this,
well,
Scott?
I've got a lot of got a lot of lists.
Yeah,
but
a lot of
I'm not gonna read all of them, obviously. Mm-hmm. I do have a list that's kind of interesting here. Now I got three different sections, or three different types of roller coasters.
Do types.
And I got these from ultimateRollerCoaster.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about this is that they give us all the records, the current records for these, what are the tallest, the fastest, the most severe dip, drop rather, the angle of descent, all of that information is right there. And it gives you, you know, either speed or feet or mm-hmm. whatever, the name of it, where it is, when it was built, cool information like that. I guess maybe we should do that first. But there's three different types. There's there's shuttle coasters,
mm-hmm.
which are the type that it says to qualify for this category, the track must be an incomplete circuit, and the car must go forward and backward. So this is a type that goes out somewhere
mm-hmm.
and returns on the same track without making a complete circuit. It doesn't come around in a loop.
Right.
It goes out one way, comes back the same way. And I don't know. I guess I got the tallest, fastest, all that information if we want to hear it, but...
Ooh, let's save it. Let's save it till the end.
Okay. And then there's also wood coasters.
Wood coasters, yes.
Wood coasters.
Most traditional, the oldest form of coaster.
My personal favorite.
You told me that, yeah.
I think maybe it's just the way they look, but they're really cool to look mm-hmm. at. They're so intricate, so complex.
Yeah.
And there's probably some real simplicity to it, but I fail to see that when I look at them. They look very complex.
I think it's all the lattice work and the supporting beams mm-hmm. that go into it.
Oh, yeah. They're just a maze of big wooden posts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just incredible what they hold up and how long they hold up. Because the oldest coasters mm-hmm. are the wooden coasters, of course. You know, they're not the metal ones.
Right.
But to qualify for the wooden coaster category, the coaster must be designed with wood layered tracks and form a complete circuit. So this one has to form a complete mm-hmm. all the way around and back circuit.
And it does have metal tracks. Let's just, right?
Designed with wood layered tracks to form a complete circuit. I believe this is a metal surface.
Right,
that they roll
but it's
on.
Layered. Correct. Track with
yeah,
wood.
It's,
yeah.
It's wood with metal on top of that.
I just wanted to clarify for anyone who was possibly thinking that we were talking about roller coasters made entirely out of wood.
Oh, no.
That has not happened yet.
And the wheels are still urethane or whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's also the last category, which are the steel coasters, and these are where you get into the unbelievable engineering feats. Not that wooden coasters aren't, because they really are. Mm-hmm. They truly are. But the steel coasters are the ones where you get the ultimate speed mm-hmm. and height records, because you can just build these so tall and so long that it's really impressive.
We can do some crazy stuff with these.
Yeah, it really is.
I've got real quick before we go into a lot of the stuff, which is frankly my favorite, the fastest, biggest, tallest, deepest, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. One thing that these all have in common, whether they are steel or wooden or shuttles, they work with the same rules of physics. And so we've got some great information in our article here. And I just wanted to reference some of this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The way that a roller coaster works is, you know, it looks very complicated, especially when you see those steel tube setups where they have all kinds of corkscrew turns and oblique loops and, you know, just mind-boggling drops.
Mm-hmm.
They all, though, kind of work with the interaction between potential energy and kinetic energy. And so when you're going up on the first hill of a roller coaster, in traditional roller coasters, the first hill is the largest, right?
Correct.
So you get up to the top of the hill, and that's where you have the most potential energy, or the energy of position. You've got a lot stored up because of gravity. And then when you go down the hill, as you're exhausting this potential energy, you're acquiring kinetic energy, and that's just the energy of movement,
it's the
you know,
speed, yeah.
right, which pushes you through all the other hills and usually, you know, one loop or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a wooden coaster, I know one wooden coaster maybe had a loop. We'll get to that, but
yep.
But then after all that happens, it becomes just a smaller and smaller interchange of energy until eventually you, in theory and usually in practice, make it safely back. Right.
Yep. So very good. Very good.
That's a little summation.
Better than I could have done.
I'm no physicist, man, so I'm not trying to get myself in trouble. Notice that was free of any numbers.
Sound like Dr. Ben.
I think actually you would be Dr. Ben, right? Dr. Ben Benjamin.
Oh, well, okay, Dr. Bullen.
Dr. Bullen.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Good
very
job.
Well, doctor. Thank you.
But I guess you want to talk about some of the fastest,
yes.
longest, tallest,
yes.
all that stuff?
Yes.
We'll start with... Let's go with the wooden coasters.
All right.
And we'll just do these real quick.
Okay.
The largest drop, Son of Beast in Cincinnati, Ohio, 214 feet. Now, that's a wood coaster, so that's 214 feet tall.
Son of Beast.
Son of Beast, which crowns the Beast. I rode the Beast a long, long time ago, and that was pretty amazing ride. That was fun, you know, fast, you know, big mm-hmm. and everything, and scary at the time. But it was probably right near about when it was built, in the late 70s even.
Wow.
So this one, I guess the Son of Beast is really something else, because it also has the tallest record. The tallest record, 218 feet. So
that must have been a forest to build that.
So the largest drop, that's actual from the top to the bottom of the track. That's at 214 feet. The height of the coaster is 218 feet. So you're getting within 4 feet of the ground here on this first drop.
That's nuts.
Okay. And here we go. The longest roller coaster. Longest wooden roller coaster, the Beast. So that was the one I was talking about. Still the longest at 7,400 feet. Yep, built in 1979. Kings Island again in Cincinnati. I do remember that was a long ride. I thought it took about 3.5 minutes, something like that.
Which is kind of long for
a coaster.
That's
a long ride, yeah, it really is. But it's a long way. You're going more than a mile here. So, and you know what? I'm looking down the list, and every one of these on this list are close to a mile long. I mean, it's within a couple hundred feet of a mile, even for the top 10. So these are long rides.
Mm-hmm.
The fastest, Son of Beast again.
Son of Beast.
Yep.
I just like saying that.
Son of a beast. This is 78.3 miles per hour in, well, it's fastest wooden roller coaster. So yeah. 78.3. Remember that number. We'll come back to that.
I'm writing it down.
And the angle of descent, this is important.
Uh-huh.
This is the steepness, I guess, the incline of the first hill. 77 degrees, not Son of Beast, though. This is something called T-Express in South Korea. It's called the Everland.
How many degrees?
77 degrees.
77 degrees.
And that's
degrees.
A wooden coaster. That's pretty steep for a wooden coaster.
Man, that is kind
of... Son of Beast on this list? Huh? I think it's number 10. It looks like number 10.
Wow.
55.7. And I've seen video of Son of Beast in action. Scary ride. Really scary ride.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That South Korean one has me a little more nervous.
That would be scary.
77 degrees?
On a wooden coaster.
Yeah, that's slip-out angle.
Yeah, that is. It seems like you may, I don't know, fall forward. Out and forward, I guess.
Just hold on.
Now we're getting to the steel coasters.
The steel coasters,
okay,
yes.
So the largest drop, King de Ka. King de Ka, what I said.
How much of a drop is it?
It's in Jackson, New Jersey.
And that's spelled K-I-N-G-D-A?
K-I-N-G-D-A-K-A.
Two words.
King de Ka.
Okay.
And that is 418 feet for the drop. 418 feet. So that compares to the wooden coaster where the longest drop is 214 feet. So you're talking approximate double height. Now, I've seen a 200-foot roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
I've seen this, the second one in line here, which is 400 feet. I remember seeing a 200-foot roller coaster for the first time ever, and it looked like it was touching the sky. I mean, it looked so tall, it looked like it was just really balanced. I mean, it looked unbelievably tall. Now this is 418 feet.
Man.
And this is the type where it shoots you out straight really fast. I mean, like, we'll talk about it in a moment here, but you don't get the speed. But you just go out, up this incredibly steep incline, over the top, and then come right back down, and you're done. So it's just a quick thrill ride. In fact, the next one is the Top Thrill Dragster. If you've been to Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, that one is at 400 feet. So this one beats it. It's the same type of coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It beats it by only 18 feet.
Huh,
so it's very close. They're just in this competition, this back and forth, you know, who has the tallest, fastest. And anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. But so even the last one on the list here, out of the top 10 for the largest drop, is still taller than the tallest of the wooden roller coasters.
Oh, I see. That's why they're divided into classes then, right?
Because the steel just far exceeds what they can do with the wooden ones.
Just structurally.
Yeah, I mean, it would just have to be so massive to get that tall. The next one is the tallest. Again, King de Ka and Top Thrill Dragster. 456 feet is the height of King de Ka, and the Top Thrill Dragster is 420 feet. So, again, we're talking about just a few feet here, but it doesn't really matter at that point, I think. But, you know, other than bragging
456 feet.
The longest steel roller coaster is the Steel Dragon 2000, which is in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Not going to even try to pronounce it.
Okay.
Japan. Steel Dragon 2000, it's 8,133 feet long. So significantly long. 8,000 feet long. More than 8,000 feet long.
Man.
It's pretty long.
That's pretty long.
That's pretty long. Fastest?
Yes. This is the one I'm waiting for.
King de Ka. Of course, got the height advantage, the speed advantage.
Uh-huh.
128 miles per hour.
Really?
128. Now, what did I say the top speed was on the wooden coaster? You wrote it down, right?
Yeah, 78.3.
78.3. Now, you've been on some pretty fast wooden coasters, right?
They've sure felt fast.
And you have not been on the fastest one, right? The Son of Beast.
No, I have not.
That one goes 78 miles per hour, 78.3 something.
Sure, sure.
This is going 128 miles per hour. So you can imagine what that feels like.
That's the kind of, at that speed, that's where your cheeks start to feel it,
and
right?
I believe, yeah, you're right. You'd feel your cheeks.
Feel,
I
mean,
this
the
is
G-force.
The G-forces, yeah. This is the type where it just rockets you up to that speed, too. So you're hitting top speed almost immediately. I think it said 3.5 seconds. So in 3.5 seconds, you're going to 128 miles per hour.
That's wild.
That's faster than any sports car you're going to feel.
So far.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, like the
Blackout,
supersonic, yeah. Yeah, the supersonic cars we're talking about, of
yeah.
course. The Top Thrill Dragster, very close. It's 8 miles per hour slower. It's 120 miles per hour.
Huh.
So, again, not much difference, but, you know, the other one has the bragging rights.
Yes.
Now, this one, quick. Well, we're almost done. Angle of descent.
Angle of descent. Ah, yes.
What do you think the angle of descent would be on a steel coaster where, I mean, you've seen these, right? Straight up, straight
yeah.
down.
Yeah, I'm going to cash in all my chips and say 90 degrees.
Wrong.
What?
Sorry, I didn't mean to
no,
give
no,
you the
no,
buzzer
no,
like
no, no, it was good. It was dramatic.
Wrong.
All right.
Okay. You couldn't have guessed this. 97 degrees.
What?
97 degrees. So you're
how does that even?
You're inverted. You're
how
inverted
does it even
on
work?
The on the drop. Now, I've seen this coaster in action. It's the, oh, boy, Vild Zvinit. Oh, boy. V-I-L-D hyphen. Uh-huh. S-V-I-N-E-T.
I'm just going to call it the invert.
That's in Denmark.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's not a huge coaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relatively small coaster, but it is inverted. And not only that, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 of these that are further than 90 degrees. 6 roller coasters. And they're in Belgium, the United Kingdom, and there's one in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Mystery Mine in Tennessee. And there's also one at Cedar Point in Sandusky, the Maverick.
The Maverick.
And then the Top Thrill Dragster and the King Dakar that we were just talking about, they have 90-degree drops. So those are straight down, you know, exactly
yeah,
straight
yeah.
up, straight down. These other ones are inverted, so they're more than straight down.
I can't believe I cashed in all my chips and I was thinking
know.
In the box. Hey, I've got something weird for you, though,
okay.
before we finish
Save
up.
Save me from my list.
No, I love this list so much that I want to add to it. You talked about how people are just beating each other in single digits.
Mm-hmm.
It matters single digits. Well, my friend, King Dakar may not be able to keep its fastest record pretty soon.
Really?
There's a German, in a German theme park, there's a ride known as Ring Racer, anticipated to open in 2010, and it's going to top out over 130 miles.
Really?
Yeah, and so we know that if this works, it'll be the fastest.
Do you know any of the details about this at all? Do you know, like, what kind it is? Is it a...
It's steel. I know that it
yeah.
is. It is steel. It would have to be.
Yeah.
I know that it... I don't think it beats any other standing world records except for potentially speed at
mm-hmm.
this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... We're just going to have to stay tuned because I just saw that factoid and wanted to,
that's cool.
I wanted to grab that.
I had no idea that there was anything on the way that could top that, so that's good.
But again, it's what you're saying because they're just shaving, just like the people beating world records in land speed, they're just shaving time off.
I've got a quick.
Let's do it. Let's do it. The micro machines, guys.
I promise we'll be done.
Let's run it down.
Quick roller coaster records from the same site, ultimatecoaster.com. And this is just real fast chronological order, but... In 1964,
uh-huh.
100 feet was the limit, or the tallest roller coaster, and that was in Mexico City.
Uh-huh.
It was called Serpent of Fire. By 1989, they had climbed to 200 feet, which the Magnum XL 200, and that's the one that I saw in Cedar Point. I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, it was unbelievably tall. By 2000, so this is 11 years later, they're at 300 feet with the Millennium Force, which is also in Sandusky at Cedar Point. And that was 310 feet. And then in 2003, they had the Top Thrill Dragster, which is 420 feet. So now it's at the 400-foot mark. So, I mean, I'm guessing you're going to have the 500-foot mark breached pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Pretty soon. And I don't know. I just thought it was worth mentioning. And also,
definitely.
One quick thing, because we
Stop
mentioned
saying
it.
Stop quick.
I'm super quick. Son of Beast was the only wooden coaster that had a loop. And
yes,
the loop has
that.
Been removed. I guess a lot of people, there was a point where some people were injured.
In 2006.
Yeah, you got the story. It They took the loop out. The ride still exists. Mm-hmm. All the other records still stand. It just now is, you know, right now there's no wooden coaster with a loop. There was at one time, and a lot of people rode it successfully.
Yeah.
But apparently something happened.
It just takes one mishap.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is an excellent segue. Before we go into some listener mail, a lot of people are afraid of roller coasters, which is understandable because it's not a natural situation for a human body to be in and survive. Mm. That's sort of the allure. Okay, so check this out. This is from our article. According to the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions, 335 million people visited theme parks in 2006. Okay, and so in the same year, Consumer Product Safety Commission found that about 6,500 people seek medical attention for injuries at theme parks. But of that number, 130 required hospitalization. So if you add up all this, that makes your risk of serious injury about 1 in 25 million. And the chance of a fatal injury is about 1 in 1.5 billion. And so, just for comparison, because we are a car show, the chance of fatal injury in a car crash is almost 15 in 10,000. Hmm. So if you think about it statistically, you are safer in an amusement park roller coaster than you are on the road to the roller coaster.
I like those odds, my friend.
Yeah, I like them too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't know it was, I guess, you know, we always seek out that kind of information. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you hear about something and, you know, that gets a lot of press, but so you're more of a risk, I guess, if someone smashing into you on the highway.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
I mean, I guess it doesn't have numbers.
You're not going to have another roller coaster cut you off on the main drop, the first drop.
Oh, gosh, no.
That and would be terrifying.
That would
oh,
be
that's strange. A good idea. Figure eight track with two cars running.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, take your own risk. You
Call
know?
It the Russian roulette.
Yeah, that's great. Great. Okay.
All right. Well, everybody, you know, as we always say, thanks again for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this. And, of course, we love to talk about anything that goes fast. Me and Scott, the speed fiend, Benjamin here, pretty much don't feel like you have to keep it to fast cars. We like fast boats, fast planes, fast trains,
That's
anything
right.
like that.
You can write in and talk to Ben Leap the Dips Bolin about anything you want.
Right. So I guess as we escalate our nickname war here, if you have any suggestions for topics or any suggestions for nicknames, send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com, and we will see you next time.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.